Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. And thanks for tuning in today. You are watching Bougie Black Brother Network. This is Sean. And we are doing our Hidden Gems podcast, and we're interviewing the great, the legendary Dr. Rashawn Hodges. How you doing today, Doctor?
Wonderful, man. Thanks for your energy.
Thank you, man.
I appreciate you.
Most appreciated of the love and you allowing us to come here and interviewing you, man.
It's all love, man.
All right, Rashawn, so go ahead and tell me where you grew up at, man.
Well, New Jersey, a town called Manalip, in a small suburb, half hour south of Newark, close to the shore. But by way of Alabama, my parents met Tuskegee.
Okay.
So it's pretty important to me. Grew up on grits and the best of both worlds.
Okay, okay. How many brothers and sisters you
had? I have a twin brother, two older sisters, and my parents adopted when I was 18, another brother
and sister. Wow.
So I'm one of six.
Awesome, awesome. Are you, how close are you to your family? Do you, based on you being, being in this particular field, are you like the main medical guy? Do they come to you for everything?
No. I got a sister.
Okay.
I have a sister. She's Javonda Hodge. She's Dr. Hodge, graduate Spelman. She went to Robert Wood Johnson in Newark,
okay,
New Jersey. And she's the first doctor in the family. But she runs the burn and trauma unit at Emory and teaches all the residents. So she's a beast. And then, it's me.
So she kind of, did she groom you? Did she like go under her wing?
No. We had like two different styles of practice.
Okay, so what got you into the field, like from high school into college? What made you be like, I want to get
into just my parents escaping the South. You know, that's the reason why they went through segregation and all the bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so after Tuskegee, they wanted more opportunity. So like most African Americans, you fled the South.
Right.
So they went from, Montgomery, Union Springs, met Tuskegee, marriage, let's get some opportunity. Right?
And right.
So they went to New York.
Okay.
And had my eldest sister in the Bronx. Whew. And that's the first time they saw subways.
Okay.
And from what they told me, they hated it.
So it's too fast, or
it was country,
yeah,
big city. And my dad's teaching out there. My mom's a nurse.
Okay.
So you know what? Thank God I was raised in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing wrong about being raised in New York, but it was a slower pace,
Slow okay.
herbs, and I didn't have a house key till I was 18. Everybody used the garage,
right?
So
what made you choose Morehouse for the college that you wanted to go to?
Let me finish that question. So what made me choose to be a physician,
right,
is what parents want from their children, to be better than them.
Right.
So they were hard but fair, man. You had no choice. You want to be a doctor or a lawyer. So I was like, hey, I wanted to be a football player.
Right. I see you.
And my twin brother's a beast too, man. Big shot. Gotta give him, he's my 20s old, he's 4 minutes older than me, identical.
Okay.
And he's the first person I call and wake up every morning. Gotta speak to him.
What does he do?
He does device sales for anyone that has vertebral compression fractures. He sells implants and these plates, these titanium plates that go in people's necks and
straight.
Yeah, fusions. So he's a beast in his out route, man.
Ooh, okay. So that's
healing awesome too. He's part of it too.
Yeah. So everybody part of the medical game. Then.
No. I have an elder sister, Tanisha, and my little brother and sister. They served in the military.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, that's super.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everyone's doing their own little passion, their own thing.
All right. So tell me about you coming to Atlanta.
That's an easy question. College tour.
Okay.
Yeah. Sophomore year, so I had to be
1989.
I'm in Jersey, and it was a deep South college tour. And you started at North Carolina A&T,
okay,
Hampton, Howard.
So was it like a week?
Yeah, and you went to the historical black colleges. It was during Easter break, and my first time in Atlanta, and seeing Spellman and Clark and Morris Brown, and so
that was, as far as HBCUs, was that like your first time experiencing the college vibe of and seeing all of your people in there, or was that a common thing for you?
No, that was my first time when I got in there, and my first time looking to the left and to the right, I saw 800 African Americans, man, and doing the opposite of what media is saying we're doing.
Right.
So it was like empowering. It was everything.
Cool.
You know.
Cool. So when did you start your practice? Like, how much schooling did you do, and how far was your practice from you leaving school?
Check for the dates. I started practice right away.
Okay.
Well, that's incorrect. After my third year of residency, I started doing clinical research trials.
Okay.
I'm a principal investigator as well. You know, I was. For Big Pharma, you know, so I worked on inhaled insulin. After 9/11, there was, toxins and smallpox, all this hysteria. So we worked on anthrax vaccine, smallpox vaccine.
And I seen you got like a lot of recognition and some rewards or whatnot for a lot of those that you were doing.
I don't do it for that, but.
Right. But I noticed it because based on how long your practice has been open, you've been recognized for so many things. And I would imagine people who have practices 10 years longer than yours don't get the same recognition. So, basically what is separating you from the other practices that's out here?
That's a dope question. Well, our mission at Premier Chronic Pain Care is a place where empathy and sympathy collide.
Okay.
So communication and healing can begin. So this is a place that's special to a lot of people, not just to me. You know, I broke my neck. And so due to my injury, you know, I was a physician and, you know, before the injury, regular physician.
Right.
And you take health for granted, physical health, you take mental health, which is everything, for granted. And you're just so unappreciative, and you really don't listen. And patients really not really feeling you because you're writing a Z-Pack or you're writing something. Some patients have invisible illness.
Right.
And I just feel better. There is no feel better. So through my wilderness is I broke my neck 5 years ago. And, you know, I've been stripped, you know, emotionally, physically, financially. And so I am truly empathetic, you know. I understand what it means when you have intractable pain.
Okay.
There is no feel better for me.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I mean, this used to be in my neck, this plate.
Right.
You know? So I had to take these plates and screws out and get a big cage because my spinal cord's dinged. So I'm constantly feel like I'm always on fire, 24/7.
Mm.
I'm young, and this is it for the rest of my life.
Right.
So through my edification, through my learning, because you know, fortunately, I'm able to help people get off a full-time disability. Most people are, you know, that survive something catastrophic, or either disabled or, you know,
forever.
They can't help people.
Right.
But if you're able to fight back, maybe you help millions of people because they need a physician that they can finally be heard.
Yeah, that can relate.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
and understand what they're going through and really get healed, because your spouse can't do that for you.
So tell me,
you know, your friend can't do that for you, your family can't do that for you. Only people that are in your shoes really can give you that kind of support and healing.
So you said you broke your neck in the pickup game. What happened? How did, like was it a crossover? Was it like,
no, man,
like
what just happened, man? Me with lack of skills. I went sprinting, you know, I lost my guy made a cut, and I had my head down and you know, ran to a 6'9" legal pick.
Right.
Kind of like diving into a pool.
Ooh.
You know, and that's, you know.
How many surgeries did you have to, like, go through?
Two. I had a ACDF, and that's a fusion, you know, to prepare the bones. And then I had some bone spurs and complications, you know, just from healing that were hitting my cord and causing a lot of stuff. So I had to have a corpectomy.
Okay, break that down.
Corpectomy is when you take the joints off, the bone's gone. So yeah. You got to replace. So I have...
like plastic bones or whatever?
Steel. You know, you have bone, then it's supposed to be joints. You know, they're all joints. You know, these are all bones, but they're joints, just like a knee joint. So I had the equivalent of like two knee replacements at the same time.
Okay.
And I still have soft tissue is your nerve, spinal nerve root, or unfortunately, so for some people, for a lot of people, it could be your spinal cord. So when something is, when you have soft tissue,
right,
a disc or a bone on a nerve, that's sciatica, that's that peripheral neuropathy. It's almost nearly impossible to treat with pharmaceuticals. So me suffering from peripheral neuropathy, it's constant. And it's not me boo-hoo sad story. There's millions of people like me, you know. Chronic pain is bigger than diabetes and hypertension.
Yeah.
Cancer, it costs more money to manage than all of those three combined. So through that wilderness of trying to find what helps and stuff that I prescribe and barely helped me, I discovered medical marijuana.
So how long what type of pills were you using? And how long were you using them before you were like,
well, just, you know,
this ain't working.
This is what everyone goes through with chronic pain.
Okay.
So that's, you know.
Typical ibuprofens and
anti-inflammatories, opiates, benzos, things to help you sleep. You know, for chronic pain, you can't sleep, right? You know, you have appetite problems. You don't feel like eating. Right, that affects your mood. You
get more definitely.
So now you have depression. You're worried about an increase or a spike in your pain. If you have chronic pain, you're worried about, man, what if it gets bad today? Where if I'm at the store?
And that's that stress. That brings
now that's
depression.
Anxiety. Okay.
Dang.
And then there's side effects to some stuff.
Right.
Which we all can appreciate that, right? We all recognize that.
So why do you feel like based on the pills, I want to kind of stick with the pills right now. Why do you feel like the side effects of the pills were bad in your experience?
Well, I prescribe. So until there's access, people are suffering.
Okay.
Now, access is if you live in a state and you're fortunate enough to have dispensaries.
Right.
You know? So there's a lot of medicinal cannabis laws, you know, oil only, this and that. But if there's no dispensaries, people still have, you can't come to me, I'm a physician, to get this stuff, you know.
Right.
You're still going to the Texaco, the gas station, doing the black market stuff.
Right, exactly.
Right. And that's just going to cause, what, medical refugees? People to leave your state and go to a state that's more favorable. But we want Georgians to stay here, man. You know, I do.
Yeah, most right. Definitely.
It's
most
a great
definitely.
Place, you know?
So do you think, Do you think it's going to go in the right direction? Like, so there's an election coming up.
Yeah.
And
big vote.
And is there anyone in particular that you're campaigning for?
Well, before we get to that, there is. For the gubernatorial election, I'm supporting Secretary Brian Kemp.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's all about small business. I'm a small businessman. That's the backbone of America, you know. To dream, to go out and put some, you know, name on something, you know.
Yeah, that's definitely.
That he supports that. He wants to make Georgia the number one small business capital of the world. Not just this country, we can be an example for the whole world. You know, so if he can help with regulations and tax cuts, sure, I support him all the way.
All about it.
Yeah, and we have a big constitutional election. So that's constitutional vote. November 2018 is also, it's important. Every Georgian gets to decide on the in-state cultivation of medical marijuana.
In November, November 18?
For purposes only. Yes.
Or November 2018.
Yes, Georgians is a constitutional vote, so we decide. If you're a registered voter, so first get registered to vote.
Okay.
You know, your voice is everything. So this one matters.
Okay.
Right?
So
so once the Georgians decide yes, and the pulse of America, 94, you know, June, you know, this is June 2017, 94% of America agrees with medicinal cannabis. So in Georgia, fast forward another 14 months, where the most Georgians are going to sit?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to go up from 94 to about 98.
It'll be, because it'll be, it's already half the country.
Right.
You know, by then, it might be all the country. So that's a big, big vote. And then once that happens, then we can start talking about access. But that's 2 years that patients still need access.
Right, right, right.
That's why immediate decriminalization is needed right away.
Got you.
You get it?
Yes. So what made you initially start saying that, you know what, let me start researching this marijuana before the light came on?
Well, the injury.
Okay.
You know, you get desperate, so you got to figure out what's going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, it was like half the country was already had a medicinal cannabis program.
Okay.
And this plant is 500 million years old. So you start doing research, and there's tons of articles, you know, not published here in the States because it's illegal. But if you dig a little deeper, you understand that hemp was the very fabric of our 13 colonies, you know. In Virginia, you had to grow hemp. It was illegal if you didn't. And you do a little deeper, like what the number one prescribed drug was cannabis between 18, 19, 20. And for what? Migraines. And for what? Asthma.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for what? For pain, for dysentery. And then you do a little more research.
More research, right?
And you're like, what's in breast milk? Cannabinoids.
Right, yeah.
So that's in breast milk? Then we naturally have a system. Yeah.
That's been, yeah, that's programmed to function.
We have receptors in our brain, CB1, CB2 receptors all over the periphery.
Right.
That is natural. We have a system that this is...
It's supposed to.
Yeah, and you research what's different between this and cocaine and heroin. This doesn't cross that blood-brain barrier fast.
Okay.
So that's why there's zero deaths. You know, it's not like cocaine hits your brain and out.
Right, yeah.
Everybody's like, what was that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to risk my life and leave my mom and beat her up. And, right?
Yeah, you're right.
To get that same feeling again.
Right, right. You're absolutely
all
right.
All of it. Cannabis does none of that. So you understand the propaganda and you dig a little deeper. And,
okay.
And then I have a license. And then, two, I like to practice medicine off empirical evidence.
Right.
So... I'm like them old school docs, man, you know?
That's the main reason.
I'm only going to tell you what I put in my body.
Okay.
I'm only going to tell you what I know now, you know? So people, I can truly heal people. I'm like, you know, how did the guy discover diabetes?
Because he had diabetes and he had to cure it.
No. He stuck his finger in pee and said, that's sweet.
Hmm.
Yeah, man, I'm real.
Hmm. That's deep.
Mm.
All right, so
that's science. That's real.
Can you kind of explain the difference between THC and CBDs?
Sure. THC is the psychoactive part of cannabis. So that's the part that, you know, the so-called high.
Right.
I don't hate to say the word because that just screws up all this momentum we have in the medicinal cannabis community.
Okay.
So. The further we get away from saying that and speak about marijuana scientifically, it just pushes the movement.
Okay.
And the most conservative people over like, because they're so hooked on science.
Right, right, right.
They'll move.
And then what's CBD?
Okay, CBD is cannabidiol. And there's those are the two first major components of cannabis that were researched. Because it was... You know, it's been illegal,
mm-hmm.
you know, Schedule 1 drug. It's poorly researched. There's 400 some other healing components of cannabis. But because of the government, we only know about two.
Okay.
There's CBD, there's CBN, there's CBG, there's THCV,
right.
I can go on and on and on, and all are helpful. They're helpful for bone remodeling, they're helpful for gut. They all do different things. So CBD is 20 times stronger than anti-inflammatories you take over the counter. Right? So what are anti-inflammatory? That's the stuff Motrin, Aleve. So CBD does the same things as Motrin, ibuprofen, Tylenol. And those three things I just told you is the number 16 killer. It's number 16 killer in this country.
The pills.
No, anti-inflammatory.
Anti-inflammatory's got you. My bad.
I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Throw the blanket on it. Right.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Do your fact check that. But this class action suits all the time with that stuff because it does cause ulcers.
Okay.
Chronic illness. So, CBD, none of that. Cannabis, zero deaths.
Wow, that's. I appreciate you breaking that down.
Yeah, you can put that in your shakes. You can get pills. You can put it in suppositories. There's a lot of methods of taking it. You know.
So since Georgia is a oil state,
right?
Based on your injuries, you use oils, correct?
Oils only. Yeah, you got to be a cardholder.
Okay.
Once you're a cardholder, you're allowed to carry 20 ounces of the oil.
Can you explain that, the whole card?
It's 5% THC and the less of CBD. All right, the card process is now we currently have 15 diseases.
Okay.
That's applicable for medicinal cannabis.
Gotcha.
Okay? Now, if you are eligible, you have to see a registered physician that participates in the Georgia Low THC Serum Program.
And you need right to serve for that?
You gotta be a physician.
As a doctor?
Yes.
Oh, you just gotta be a physician.
You gotta be a physician, you gotta apply.
Okay.
With the medical board. It's the Department of Public Health.
Yeah. Okay.
It's an application, it's online.
Okay, cool.
So once you find a physician that can verify you, he then will do an exam history and submit your application to the Department of Public Health. You pick your card up and it's good for 2 years. And it's supposed to be a reciprocity card, so you can go in other states and use their programs.
Now, I heard that California doesn't take out-of-state cards.
No.
So, you would still have to have a California ID and go through that process?
Well, California's recreational, so no.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. They have moved on to that.
Yeah, California's recreational. Colorado's. There's 8 recreational states in the capital
okay.
of our country, D.C. And, you know, the next emerging 3 will probably be Connecticut. New Jersey, once Governor Christie's out,
mm-hmm.
that's a huge population.
Okay.
That's going to be, it's almost like California.
Yeah.
Condensed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that will go. And then probably Maine or Vermont. So Massachusetts already is. So the whole East Coast, that's going to force New York to go recreational.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
Because of tourism.
Mm-hmm.
It's money. And I don't want a vacation now. Look at the climate. Who wants their vacation where they can't medicate?
True.
And you can't take it on the plane with you right now. And if you use it as medication, you're not going to spend your dollars or take your sick kid with Crohn's or sickle cell to Disney World anymore.
Because you can't medicate.
Right. So things, you know, by force or by choice, it's coming.
Okay. I got you on that. That's powerful.
Right.
So, how major is your friends and your family's feedback and encouragement plays while you're performing or in this practice?
If the plant chooses you, you know, I didn't like chooses. I'm a regular physician.
Okay.
But through my injury research, and I found something that just helps me. That's my glue.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm protected by Congress to talk and recommend it to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a law in our state where I can help people. It's like I have to help people because there's people suffering. You know, it's not just me here. So we got to get it. You know, I'm not me.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
This is a we thing, and I can help end suffering with this plan. There's a lot of people that are hurting. You know?
Was there any obstacles? Like, what were the obstacles of you being able to be the face? What was the obstacles of you?
I don't know if I'm the face.
Well, you're right. I don't want to put that much pressure on you. But how much pressure was you to just get out there and kind of being one of the people who are encouraging it as a doctor, as a physician?
They just never had a loss like this. You know, I took
okay.
an L. You know, I took one on the chin, man. So, you know, you had the luxury of not having this type of suffering or or pain, man, good for you, man. But, you know, that's not everyone's story.
Okay.
So, you know, once you get through something like that and you're a professional, whatever you are, man, you know, people, you're going to be truth. And everyone wants to seek the truth.
The truth, yeah, yeah.
So I happen to be a physician that, you know, I got some truth and I got to spread the word. I'm transparent, man, you know. And so patients all over are going to want to come because they've been suffering and they want to be heard, you know. They want someone that has the empathy, someone they can talk to. And I wish I could talk to people more than once a month because they need it.
Yeah.
You know, mental health is everything.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Right.
It's I'm learning more, even with our music and our kids, I'm learning more that mental health is the most important thing. Like, suicide and homicide, suicide is at pretty much at an all-time high when it comes to young teens and young kids.
Yeah, that's pretty alarming. Well, and what's more alarming than that, if you Google, fact check, what's the number one worldwide spread illness now? It's depression. Number one now. So, when you have, and it's not their fault. So,
okay.
I'm talking about my medical community, my pain patients.
Gotcha.
Now, chronic pain is from inflammation. You can understand that?
Yeah.
Right? So, inflammation just an attack locally. It's your whole body. So, when you have someone that has, say, soft tissue injury, something on the spinal cord or nerve pain or whatever, traumatic injury. Now, their brain has cells too. So, this inflammation causes cell death and cell shrinkage called apoptosis. So that regulates mood. So that just happens physically.
Yeah.
Your body's under constant attack. So half of my patients have clinical depression.
Because of the pain that they're going through.
And their spouse, they don't know that. They don't know about that. And then they're ostracized, you know, because of this whole opioid epidemic. They go to their pharmacist and they feel worse. They're like, oh, is he seeking, you know? You know, they gotta play that game.
Okay.
They gotta play this game. They gotta play this game. And they just want help. So, yeah, man. I'm needed. You know, more docs like me to step out to help people needed.
Yeah, that does the real help. That doesn't do the...
Right. Because if you don't address their mental health, because they don't have the luxury of that saying, healthy mind, healthy body.
Mm.
If you go by that, like, why am I living? So let's focus on something we can control.
Yeah.
The mind.
Gotcha.
You know, let's build that up. So if I can preserve and cleanse people, you know, help heal their mind, oh man, everything's pretty cool. You know? I can keep them in the present.
Cool.
Because it's hard to stay in the present
when
you have a loss like that.
Do you, where do you see this going in the next 5 years, man? I mean, I see, you know, stock markets and everything going up, but as a physician, and as everything is changing, you know, along with everything changing, where do you see the industry going, and how impactful do you think it's going to be within the next 5 years?
Man, the hemp revolution, with hemp is a cousin of cannabis. That started, you know. I started, like, do some research, man. The first car, Henry Ford, he designed that car to run off of hemp, the gasoline. So this is nothing new. So, you know, hemp bills are big. That's going to be our big bill this year.
Okay.
It's hemp. Because it's 20 times stronger than steel. It's concrete. You can make cars out of it. 1 acre of hemp is equal to 4.125 acres of lumber. So we'll save the economy. You gotta do your research. Hemp is a $1 billion industry just as long as it's cannabis, but they're not talking about it.
Hemp is a $1 billion industry just as long as it's cannabis.
Just as
not
just
including,
as lucrative
right.
as cannabis.
But if it wasn't
less regulations.
Right. So based on if it wasn't used for cannabis and for THC, we can actually use cannabis and hemp and cut our budget down in half, pretty much.
Well, look at the stats. That's nothing new either. You know, the states that have medicinal cannabis programs, 60-something thousand immediately saved off of Medicaid, Medicare. You don't need your medication. So the future, yeah, the future, well, that'll be our gas, our cars, will be made out of hemp. You know, you're going to be juicing cannabis because it's the best vitamin. You know,
right.
Your vitality, it's energy, you know. That'll be your medicine. And as a physician, what bothers me about that whole, it'll be a have and have not game.
Right. Because of the industry, basically.
Not just the industry, you know. There's going to be the synthetic.
Okay.
Because the synthetic cannabis is not new either.
No, it's not.
1985, Marinol. That synthetic THC was on the markets, FDA approved, for AIDS anorexia. Yeah. Right, but that's synthetic. That's so if you're on Medicaid, Medicare, you know, this, you know, you've been to the dispensary?
Yeah.
All right, so it costs cash.
Mm-hmm.
But what if you're that population that makes less than 16 grand? Right?
Yeah.
That's a huge, people are going to get left behind.
Okay.
So they don't have a choice. They don't have the luxury of spending $400 on medication or $100 for oil when they're used to paying nothing, you know? They're on Medicare or Medicaid. So those patients, that population is going to get the synthetic. They don't even have the option of getting something that grows naturally.
I feel like that's a problem. Because like everything, I mean, just like grapes and tomatoes, if you don't have seeds in it, you know, that
you're missing a lot of the true benefits.
Yeah. Here.
So yeah, there's a big problem. People need to get nonprofits and have fundraisers for people that can't afford.
You know? Okay.
Yeah. Let's give them the option. So I don't have all the answers, but that's just a major problem as a physician. Because it will be everything. Nature will always nurture.
Yes. You know?
Look at the drugs that are coming out there in the phase 3 clinical trials. It's all based off plants. Look what's happening with mushrooms.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's being more encouraged, but it's definitely more research on it and people that have done
it. They figured it out. So
yeah.
In a phase 3 clinical trial.
Okay.
Fake psilocybin. It's in regular mushrooms. You know, California's going to be the first state to decriminalize. That's in January. Mushrooms.
Really?
Yes. It's cleaning up Europe and, I mean, India and China. Those are billion-dollar countries that live on top of each other, but they're happy. Don't have the mental health problem.
Right.
So that's something that grows naturally. But then again, look what's going to happen. The same thing. So there's movements, you know, happening, but I don't want people to get left behind.
Okay.
And I don't have the answers for that. You know, people are going to get left behind.
Okay. Oh, man, that's deep, man. So I think that's it, man.
Cool,
we definitely got a lot out of
it again.
We definitely got a lot out of you.
We'll do it again.
What's the what's your contact, man? What's your tags? How do people reach you?
Man, definitely hit me on the office number 404-523-0111. Internet is premiercpc.org, and Instagram is what you can kind of get the vibe and how you kind of get my movement, man, how I move, and you just kind of feel it.
Right,
I'm
right.
A bit on education. That's Bud Connoisseurs, ATL. That's BudConnoisseurs, ATL. So that's it. And then we're on Weed Maps as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any quotes, Bible scriptures or proverbs that you kind of go by or you live by?
And I can't get in the box anymore, man. So
okay,
I don't sip the Kool-Aid anymore.
That's what's up, man. Well, I appreciate you again for the interview. It's wonderful. Y'all just in tune to main man, Doctor.
Do your research.
Yeah,
there's a ton of opportunities. Whatever you're doing, there's a job that translates in the cannabis industry. To all my ladies, women there, you know. They're the fastest growing CEOs and it's in the cannabis industry.
Wow.
Regular, if you drive, you know, look on Indeed.com, just look up cannabis drivers. If you drive, if you're trucking, look up security and look up what going on Indeed and look up what cannabis security guards are making. You know, it's triple, quadruple. learn hydroponics, learn how to grow, teach your kids, talk about it, because they're either going to be owners or managers.
Yeah.
All right, so that's my advice.
Thanks again, man.
Peace.
Thanks again. It was wonderful. And thank y'all for tuning in to the Bougie Black Brother Network, Hidden Gems. Great. Yeah,
thank you for the energy, man.
Oh, no problem. No problem, man. Yeah. We'll definitely touch again. You already know.